Morning. Today's daf in Baba Basra's Kuf Samach Dalet. In school, so the learning we do this morning should be a refuah shlema for Baruch Tzvi Ben Rivka Basya. The Gemara is on the bottom of Kuf Samach Gimel Amud Beis. We are starting Gufa. We're going back to a statement that we made yesterday. Again, what are we talking about? Contracts and really the Chachamim's ability to just think through the contract and to make it as tamper-proof as possible. Okay, there's no perfect system and there's no way to make anything perfectly tamper-proof, but at least to the best of the Chachamim's ability, they're going to try to make a document tamper-proof. Now, they wrote on cloth. Their contracts, they wrote on cloth. I'm sure they had something that would lean, that looked like paper, but obviously it was a commodity back then. It was such a commodity back then that they had to reuse paper. It was just simply that simple. I was told, I don't know if it's true, but I was told, let's say, for example, the Menachas Chinuch. Menachas Chinuch is a prolific writer. He wrote on the Sefer Chinuch, and if you ever go through the Menachas Chinuch, it's very difficult. He's a powerful thinker, and so he writes on the Sefer Chinuch, and he writes a lot. He writes a tremendous amount. So if you look at the original Menachas Chinuch, which nowadays doesn't even exist anymore, when I say the original, I mean, like, in other words, when it was published, at least when I was much younger. So okay, whatever, some time ago. So the Rashi Tevas are out of control, meaning that every word, every two words, every three words was Rashi Tevas. And I was told, Rashi Tevas meaning in other words, instead of writing out the entire words, he just writes a couple of letters, right, acronyms to explain it. So and it was just, in other words, now in the modern updated version of the Menachas Chinuch, everything's spelled out. So in other words, it makes reading much easier. But back then, in other words, everything was Rashi Tevas. It's a little bit strange. Why was everything Rashi Tevas? So I was told that the paper that he got his hands on was at such a premium, such a commodity, that he tried to put as much information on a single page of paper. And so therefore, basically everything was Rashi Tevas. Everything. So to try to put as much information as possible. So back then, paper was at a premium. It was a serious commodity. And so therefore, basically, you reused and you recycled paper in terms of writing up a contract. So that means then that basically you're going to have a page. You're going to have I want a loan, but we need paper right now, or we need something to write on. So what I'll do is I'll take an old document, I'll erase it, and we'll write over it again. But of course, in other words, now you've created something which is, once it has one erasure, so like, can we do that again? Meaning, okay, so that's basically going to be our topic of discussion, at least for the first half of today's daf. So we begin today with the words gufa. We are on Kuf Samachim Amud Beis, and the Gemara starts off. Amar Rav Shtar Haba Hu VeEidav Al Amecha Kasher. So if I have a document, and the entire document was erased, and then over the erasure, we're going to write up a new document. And so we're going to write up new terms and a new document. So as long as everything is al hamachak, everything is on the erasure, so then kosher. So then it's going to be perfectly fine. However, im tomar mochek v'chozer mochek. And so the Gemara says, and what are you worried about? Meaning, I know what you're concerned about. So we're writing on paper which already has erasure. So it's got erasure marks on it. So then, here's what the unscrupulous person would do. So he would take the document. Again, it's now got the text, the ksav, and it's got the witnesses signed below. And it's already been erased. So let's do it again. Meaning, let's take the ksav, let's erase the ksav again, and then let's draft up a new document with much bigger numbers and whatever, and no conditions, and et cetera, et cetera. Meaning, I'll write up a new document in my favor. Aren't we worried about that? So the Gemara says, no, you don't need to worry about that. Why not? We're now on the very top of Kuf Samach Lamed Aleph, because Eino Domen Nimchak Pam Achas LeNimchak Shtei Pamim. Gemara says, because it'll be notable if there's one erasure versus two erasures. Meaning, so now if we try this maneuver, so what's going to end up happening is that you'll clearly look at the erasure of the ksav, the double erasure of the ksav compared to the erasure on the bottom, and people will say, oh yeah, this was tampered with. Oh, for sure it was tampered with. The erasure back then, keep in mind also, in other words, I know we think of eraser like, the rubber thing on the back of the pencil, and, it does a pretty good job. But back then, in terms of erasure, also what it involved was scraping off some of the actual paper, some of the actual cloth. So the Gemara says, there's no question question that you will be recognizable if someone attempted to erase the ksav and rewrite the ksav, and meanwhile the witness has only been erased once. Gemara says ain't no dumb, it's not comparable, and therefore this kind of maneuver will not be successful. So the Gemara says v'lechush dama shadi diyusa makam edim. So the Gemara says again, we have to think like the thief. And maybe what he'll do is the following. Maybe what he'll do is he'll drop some ink on the area where the witnesses are going to sign. And then he'll erase it. And then now, and then he'll erase it, have the witnesses sign. And now, write up the ksav, write up the text. And now, also on erasure, but now when he does his maneuver, so the witnesses already having gone through a process of signing on erased area, so now the signing will be on a double erasure area, and aren't we worried now that the ksav having only been erased once, so when you erase it again, it'll equilibrate the ksav and the edim. So now that both on double erasure, the Gemara says, "No, are we worried about that maneuver?" Amar Abai, ksav rav, ein edim chos mala mechak elim kein nimchak bifneihem. So the Gemara says, "Okay, but." This also is going to be avoided because Rav has another opinion, which is that witnesses will only sign on erased paper if the paper was erased in front of them, so that they know that there was a single uniform erasure on the entire document, so that now when they're signing, they will be signing on a uniform page, and that way when the writing is written on the top, so there will be no tampering with the top versus the bottom. The Gemara says, so Rav is not worried about that as well. Meisvei. So the Gemara says, okay, so where do we stand right now? Rav's of the opinion that if the entire page has gone through an erasure, so, and as long as it's done in front of the witnesses, so the witnesses then are allowed, in other words, you're allowed to use this page for a document. You write up on the document the ksav, the witnesses sign on the bottom, and we're not worried about tampering. The Gemara says, Meisvei, I'll challenge you with the following braisa. Hu al aniyar ve'edav al amachat. Kasher. So the Braisa says as follows, that if you're writing a document on Niyar, Niyar means the unerased page, and the Edim are signing on erasure, meaning that just the bottom portion of this paper has gone already through an erasure, the Braisa says it's kasher. The Braisa says it's fine. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Based on everything we just discussed, the Braisa is really hard to understand. Meaning, again, we're trying to make this a tamper-proof document. The witness is signed on the bottom, which has gone through an erasure. The top has not gone through an erasure. The Gemara says, are you kidding me? We've just created a document that's easily tamperable. Because now, we'll just simply erase the top, and we'll rewrite the top, and it'll look like a uniform page. So the Gemara says, v'nechush dilma machik le v'kasa mai debai. V'avalehu v'edav ala machak. Now, if Rav is right, that you can write on a page that has that has undergone an entire erasure, so then you have created a tamperable document if the witnesses are signing on a erased area. So the Gemara says, "Diksive hache anachnu sahade chasamna al machaka v'shtar ksav al niyara." So the Gemara says, "You're right, but here." If this is the kind of situation where the ksav is on erased area, the witnesses are signing on an erased area, so here's what we're going to do in order to avoid tampering. What we'll do is the witnesses are going to sign or to write a small note, and the Gemara is going to in just a moment tell us precisely where they're going to write the small note. But the witnesses are going to write a small little note, and the note's going to say, "We, the witnesses, have signed on an erased area, but the document itself has been written on an unerased area." Now the Gemara just gets to one more little detail, and that is Diksiva Hecha. Where exactly are we writing this little note? So if we're writing that little note below where the witness is signed, so again, the unscrupulous person, not a problem. He'll just cut that out. And Eli, and if they write that little note above where the witness is signed, well, again, the unscrupulous person will erase that. Because remember, the basic idea is that the rest of the document is unerased, and the unscrupulous person will erase it in order to rewrite. So the Gemara says, Dekasu ben sahada la sahada. So the Gemara says, okay, a simple solution, and that is write this little note that The witness is signed on an erased area, and the document itself was written on an erased area, and write the small little note, this important addendum, between witness number one and witness number two. So, the Gemara says, fine. The Gemara says, but now let's go through the second half of the Braisa. The second half of the Braisa takes us now through the following scenario. Hu al machak, the eid of al haniyar pasul. If the ksav, the text of the document was written on erased area, sorry, is written on erased area, and the eidim are signing on unerased area, pasul. So the Braisa says such a document is going to be disqualified, to which the Gemara says, why? Why should that be? I'm my apostle. So the Gemara says, didn't we previously solve the problem by writing a small little note where the witness is signing, explaining what the document should be looking at, what the document should be looking like? And over here, if the document itself was unerased, and the witnesses are signing on an erased area. So the Gemara says, other way around. The written text is written on erased area, and the witnesses are signing on unerased area. So the Gemara says, we should be fine, right? And a little note explaining this, where the witnesses are signing, should explain it, and therefore it is possible to make it tamper resistant. So the Gemara says, Hashanami, my amart, mochik chozer mochik. Ha amart in a domen nimchak pam sheni, pam achaz nimchak shepanen. And the Gemara over here tells us, look, what was your problem? Your problem was, well, I'm worried that, look, the ksav is written on erased area. And we said, oh, don't worry about a second erasure because everybody's going to be able to tell the difference between a first erasure and a second erasure. So the Gemara says, so what are you worried about in this circumstance? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what I'm worried about. The Gemara says, look, you're right. Everybody can tell the difference between a first erasure and a second erasure. But that's only when it's side-by-side comparison. Meaning, in the beginning of today's daf, we were talking about where the witness is signed on an erased area, and the writing was written on an erased area. And now, if we make an attempt to erase it a second time, well, on the same document, side-by-side, you have a first erasure and a second erasure. That's easy to differentiate, however. If we're talking about where one part of the document is totally unerased, notably in this case, the area where the witnesses are signing, and another part of the document where it went through an erasure, a first erasure, the Gemara says, but if we do a second erasure, there's no side-by-side comparison, meaning because the second erasure is going to be alongside unerased area. So if I have no side-by-side comparison, so then no. Objectively, you can't tell me the difference between a first erasure and a second erasure if there's nothing to put it against. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, people are not going to know. So the Gemara says, really? There's no way of knowing the difference between a first erasure and a second erasure? So the Gemara says, if the problem is the inability to discern a first erasure and a second erasure, Gemara says, get another piece of paper, erase it, and then create a match. And look, and take a look now at our comparison. If our document looks like a first erasure piece of paper, then we're fine. If it doesn't, so then we have to assume that it was tampered with. So the Gemara says, "Lo dami macha dahamigota lamacha dahamigota." Not every piece of paper behaves the same way when gone through an eraser and a second erasure. And the Gemara basically says we're going to have to reject such a test. A test like this will not be able to discern for us if this particular document went through a first or a second erasure. Okay, so one more point on this particular type of document. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we take the signature of these witnesses in Beis Din, meaning the witnesses who are signing on this document, and erase it, and now basically we have a base model to compare this to. So the Gemara says, "Amar Ravoshi, ayin adam and nimchak ben yamal and nimchak ben shnei yamim." So the Gemara says, "Well, even this is not going to work out so well, because even as the page has gone through an erasure, if it's an erasure plus time, there's a time lapse, that also will prove to be a slightly different shade." And the Gemara is saying that there basically is, unless it's on the actual page itself, there's no way to make a fair comparison between this paper and another paper, between what this erasure would look like with that erasure would look like. And so there are the variables of different papers behave different, react differently to erasure, and there's also another variable of the time lapse. So the Gemara says, unless we're talking about this particular page, people will not be able to discern a first erasure versus a second erasure. The Gemara finally tries one more attempt, Velishaya. So the Gemara says, okay, well, if we're worried about a time lapse, so why don't we then have two pieces of paper at the time of the signing, have your second piece of paper, and have it go through the same time lapse that the original paper has gone through. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Chayshinlan based in Toa. Now, the Rabbi Yirmiyah says, at this point in time, it's way too complicated. In other words, to create and to try to preserve a similar type of paper that has gone through the similar type of erasure, in order so that at a later point in time, when we take out the original document, we'll have a matching document to match it to. So at this point in time, it is way too complicated, and we're at this point in time worried that Beis Din is just simply going to get lost in all these particular details just to make sure that this document, this particular document, is untampered with. So just simply to conclude. Okay, on the first half of today's daf. Basically, what we're looking at is it's the same discussion we've had yesterday and the day before, trying to make the document as tamper-proof as possible. Rav says a halacha that if the entire page has gone through an erasure, you can reuse it. You can use such a document. And we're not worried about tampering. And why are we not worried about tampering? So because if somebody unscrupulous tries to erase the top portion of the document and it's on the same page, an easily side-by-side comparison will tell us that the top of the page has gone through in a second erasure, therefore it was tampered with, therefore it's no good. But, so under those circumstances, it's fine. And then what the Braisa discussed and what the Gemara amplified and explained is that if I have a top portion of the document that went through that never went through an erasure, and the bottom part that did go through erasure, the Gemara says such a document would be fine. Meaning, and the witnesses will sign on the erased portion. And why are we worried about tampering over there? Because a note was written between the witnesses saying the bottom part went through an erasure, the top part did not go through an erasure, and therefore if you expect this document to be untampered with, you will see that the top part is unerased. However, the opposite won't be true if the top portion was unerased and the witnesses were signing on an erased portion of the document. If the top portion went through an erasure and the bottom portion was unerased, the Gemara says there it is nearly impossible, right? I'm choosing my words carefully. It's nearly impossible to create a tamper-proof document, because once the top portion went through an erasure, it can go through a second erasure. Why aren't we worried about people being able to, why can't people discern? People can only discern when it's side-by-side comparison. But if the top portion already went through an erasure and the bottom portion was unerased, totally unerased, so the second erasure of the top portion will go beyond our scrutiny, and so therefore it would be, under those circumstances, really difficult to make a tamper-proof document. Such a document can't be used. Okay, ad kan. Takes us to the first half of today's daf. We're on the very bottom of Kuf Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer Mekusha. Now, we go back to the Mishnah that we started all this with. The Mishnah was on Kuf Samach, beginning of the 10th parak of Baba Basra. And the Mishnah basically told us a fundamental distinction between Get Pasha, Get Mekusha, right? Two different types of documents. Again, the reason why the Get Mekusha was instituted was for Kohanim, so that they're given more time to deliberate before divorcing their wives. But once the Chachamim set up a second type of shtar, so you could use it under all circumstances. You want to use it for a loan, you may do so. The Mishnah says, but be careful. If it's going to be a Get Pashut, it's got to be a Get Pashut, and you can't use any of the Get Mekusha halachas in a Get Pashut. And the opposite's also true. If you're going to use a Get Mekusha, you got to be careful. You can't use any of the Get Pashut rules in a Get Mekusha. The two contracts are mutually exclusive from one another, and you can't cross the halachas one over the other. To which in the Mishnah then the Gemara brought in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And he says, no, sorry, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, what I just said is coming up later, tomorrow's daf actually. Anyway, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says that a mekusher, where the witness is signed on the front, would be okay, because you could take a mekusher and convert it to a pashut. The Gemara says, I'm not sure about that. Heishiv Rebbe, we're on the very bottom of Kuf Samach Dal Amad Aleph. Heishiv Rebbe Ledivrei Rebbe Chanina Ben Gamliel. Now, Rebbe said, I don't get it. Now, by the way, you'll see over the course of the today's daf, in the second half of today's daf, like Rebbe had a lot of confusion, so to say, with the Get Mekusher. Now, we already saw a story earlier in the Perek regarding Rebbe, where he was given the Get Mekusher, and he's looking at it, and he's like, where's the date? What's going on over here? Every document needs a date. Where's the date? And by the way, we're going to review that story again later today. But over here, Rebbe says, regarding Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel's opinion on our Mishnah, I don't understand. Vehalo, we're on the very top of Kuf Samach Dal Amad Beis. Vehalein, Adam, Ezmanashozeh. I don't get it. The Zman of the Get Pashut is not the same as the Zman of the Get Mekusha. Now, I know this is going to sound funny, but let's first read the Gemara, and then I'll try to explain it. So he says, Pashut Melech Shana Monim Lo Shana. Now, remember back then, how did they date the document? So in terms of the day of the month and the actual month itself, well, that's easy. Meaning, we all can agree, right? We right now started the month of Tammuz. We are, I wish I knew, so I could sound like I, what's today? Today's the, I want to say the 10th day of Tammuz?
No,
11th. Okay, I was close. So, right, the next Tuesday is the 17th. Okay, so the, today's the 11th day of Tammuz. Fine. So the, so in terms of the date of the month and the month itself, that's easy. And you can also add the day of the week, although I don't think that's necessary. In terms of the year, so for us nowadays, it's really simple. Could we just go with Bria Sa'olam? Right? We are in the year 5777. Okay, so for us, it's easy. But back in the day, when monarchies were a thing, and not just a thing, but really, really, critical and important, so they would date every document in terms of year, based on which year we are in the current king. Okay? And by the way, they did it for both Jewish kings and also non-Jewish kings as well. And we're going to be discussing that in more detail when we get to Sanhedrin as well. Anyway, but that's how they would date documents based on the king. So if let's say it's the first year of the king's rule, so they would date it, or in other words, the 11th day of Tammuz in the first year of such and such reign. And again, because the monarchy was such a thing, everybody knew which year we were talking about. Okay. Now, so by Get Pashut, so that's how you would date a document. The date of the month, and which year we are in whose reign. And whoever's reign is the current monarchy. However, Melech Shana Monim Lo Shana, Shtayim Monim Lo Shtayim. However, by Get Mekusha, and again, I'm anticipating, this is going to sound strange. I will try to explain it. Try. Mekushar Melech Shana Monim Lo Shtayim, Shtayim Monim Lo Gimel. However, when you're writing a Get Mekusha, and you are dating it, so you're going to be advancing a year ahead of where the king actually is. So that means that if this is the first year of the king's reign, put down this is the second year of his reign. If it's the second year of the king's reign, put down the third. Now, when you're writing a document and you're dating the document, you really, in other words, what's the purpose of dating a document? You'd like to know when the document was written. And especially if it's a note, you would like to know when it's written, because please consider that every time you're writing a note, it creates a lien. And the lien will allow you to extract properties from buyers as long as the sale of the property postdates the lien that was set in the note. So it's really important to know what year it is. And by Get Mekusha, we're going to be adding a year? Well, we know, we've already discussed this, actually we discussed this recently. What's that called in halacha? When you are postdating a document, it's called a shtar me'uchar. Right now, a shtar me'uchar, is that acceptable or not acceptable? So post facto, b'di'evet, it's fine. It's acceptable. But why would you do that? It's strange. Why wouldn't we date it based on the current year? So the Rashbam writes, The top Rashbam on the Amud. I'm sorry, Elashana. Shtayim on Lom Shtayim. Ava Mekushar, by Get Mekushar, Imalach Shana Kosim Mishtar Shtayim. Shtayim on Lom Shalosh. Klomar, Makdim on Lom Shana, Shari Minaga Uma Kidla Kaman. Lahaktim La Melech Shana. Vishema, now the Rashma is trying to explain, well, why would we do that? It's a strange custom. Meaning, first the Rashma points out it's a minhag, it's a custom. And admittedly, it's a strange custom, but why would we do that? Yeah, so he suggests the Rashbam. Vishema l'chavon ha-melecha yosim, klamar, kvar hichzik b'machuso shteshanim. So perhaps it's a way of flattering the king. Meaning, this is... So this is like one of the original fake news outlets. In other words, I know the king. I know this is only the second year of the king. But you know what? Let's when we write our Get Mekushar, let's write down that's the third year, right? He's been here for some time. So v'chachamim tiknu lichto b'mekushar k'minaga uma k'dei lasos chilukim harbe v'chumrus b'mekushar. Now this happens to have been an accepted practice that was done by the nations of the world, that they basically would credit the king another year as a way of flattering the king. Oh, king, you're the greatest. Oh, it's 1 year, 2 years. Right. It's going to last. It's going to be really good. And so since this was done, so what the Chachamim did is that, look, we want people to know that there's a basic differentiation between a Get Pashan and a Get Mekushar. So what we'll do, we the Jewish people, is we're going to take this practice, which is a practice that was done by the Goyim, we're going to incorporate it into a Get Mekushar, and the Rashbam explains, and we're doing this to create another differentiation point between a Get Pashan and a Get Mekushar, and we want the Get Mekushar, I know this is going to sound funny, but the Rashbam basically is saying this, we want the Get Mekushar to be complicated. Meaning, you just added another wrinkle in the Get Mekushar. And I mean that both literally and figuratively. You added another wrinkle in the Get Mekushar. And the Rashbam says, and that's what we're going for. That's exactly the point. We want the Get Mekushar to be a little bit more complicated, because remember, the entire institution, and the Rashbam concludes exactly with this point. Meaning, that's the whole reason of the Get Mekushar, is to create confusion, complexity, and a process so that the Kohanim are going to have more time to reconsider their act of divorcing their wife. And now, the whole thing is strange, but I love the idea of the witnesses sitting there writing the Get Mekushar, and now, just basically to put another stumbling block in the writing of the Get Mekushar, oh, the date. Oh, let's figure. I know it's not higher math. I know that. But oh, the date. Oh, you know what? It's the king's first year. Oh no, don't write the first year. Why not write the first year? It's his first year. No, write the second year. Well, I don't understand it, but it's the first year, right? And exactly for that reason, that it creates more complexity, more confusion, more chumras, to quote the language of the Rashbam. That's what we're gunning for when it comes to the Get Mekushar.
Would the divorce actually be valid?
Is it? Is it possible now that with this system we're going to create a post-dated document? Right. And the answer is yes. And again, b'di'evit, a post-dated document is fine anyway.
For divorce, I mean.
Right. Right. And so, yeah. Agree, yes. But again, being that everybody, quote-unquote, knows this, I mean, everyone should know this. I mean, you're only going to know this if you do today's daf. But if you knew this, you know that in a Get Mekushar, a year is advanced on the date. Meaning, basically, when you read a Get Mekushar, so to convert for real time, you subtract the year. Okay.
Right, of course, yes.
So the Gemara says, Emelch shanamonim lo, shtayim lo, gimel. Vizimnin di yazif minei, zuzim imekushar, umizramalei, zuzim beni beni uparalei. So now Rebbe makes a fantastic point. It's fantastic. So now that we've just learned together this dating differentiation between a Get Pashan and a Get Mekushar, so Rebbe says to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, how can you convert a Get Mekushar to a Get Pashan? Because the Get Mekushar has a year add-on. The Get Pashan does not have that year add-on. And once we try to convert it from Get Mekushar to Get Pashan, so now people will subtract a year, and if it's a Get Pashan, well, no, you shouldn't have subtracted that year. So the conversion from a get mekusha to get pashut will clearly confuse people in terms of that year. V'amalei havli sarai. V'amalei havli sarai v'amalei irkusli. And now Rebbe's just basically playing out. Here's how it would look like in practice. So let's say there was a loan that was made, and the contract was written up, using a get mekushar model. Okay, fine. And that means that we added on a year. Now comes along the due date, and the lender says to the borrower, okay, pay me back. So the borrower says, sure, no problem at all, I'll pay you back, but let me have my contract back. Meaning, remember, and we're going to be discussing this as we get to the end of the Masechta Baba Basra. Fine, of course I'll pay you, but give me back my contract so that you won't come at me again. To which the lender says, oh, irkusli, oh, I'm sorry, I lost it. I don't have it right now. I'm totally lost it. But you'll pay me back anyway. And then what's going to happen? And when he does pay back, by the way, he'll pay back with witnesses, so to validate that he did pay back. Now, if you're going to ask me about a receipt, hold that question. The Gemara is going to address that in just a moment. The kus of lay tavra. I'm sorry. The amar irkusli the kus of lay tavra. He writes a receipt. The chimates mane mashvile pashut. And now, when the due date of the contract actually comes up, so what's this unscrupulous lender going to do? He's going to take the get mekusha document. He's going to, because according to Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel, you're allowed to do this, convert it into a get pashut, which means that it'll have now the witness. It will open it up. The witness is signed on the inside. And now, what does the date say? The date is a year ahead of where we are right now. And now what this unscrupulous lender will say to the borrower is, this is a new loan. Oh, no, this is not the old loan. It's a new loan. Look at it. It's dated a year from, it's dated a year ahead.
Why is the get mekusha would be used for a loan anyways?
Once the rabbis instituted a get mekusha, so it can be used for any kind of document opportunity.
There was a purpose why they
instituted it. But once instituted, it could be used for any kind of item that you need documentation for.
You would see the holes there.
In other words, I'll tell you the truth. I'm just going to admit, I'm also a little bit bothered, meaning, according to the Rashbam, the way we describe the Get Mekushar, it's writing, then empty, then writing, then empty, meaning there are things in it that are going to make it still look like a Get Mekushar. Okay, I'm still bothered by all this, but at least in this, I understand the basic point of the Gemara. If it's convertible and the year of the two are two different years, so then it could lead to this kind of possibility. So the lender is going to say, this is a new loan. So the Gemara says, Kasavra ain't kosher and shover. So the Gemara says, well, it happens to be that Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel is not bothered by all this because Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel does not allow for the writing of a receipt. Now, I'll tell you what. I'm going to pass over this point about not writing a receipt. I know that coming up in just a couple days from now in Baba Basra, we're going to have a lengthy discussion of whether it's good or not good to write a receipt. So we're going to table the discussion of writing receipts for now. Please stay with me. Come back a couple days from now. And the Gemara in Baba Basra is going to be discussing why it's a bad thing to have to write a receipt. And so the Gemara says that Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel, by disposition, does not write receipts. He does not like the idea of writing receipts, and therefore this problem would never present itself. We'll come back to that point a little bit later on. So Umi Baki Rebbe Mekusha. The Gemara says now, sounds like Rebbe knows a lot about again Mekusha. The Gemara says, really? So the Gemara says, Vaha, Mekusha Dasla Kama de Rebbe. The Gemara tells a story, another story about Get Mekusha and Rebbe. Vaham Rebbe Shtar Me'ukhrazeh. And Rebbe looks at the document, and Rebbe says, what? Well, I'm looking at a document, I see the date of the document. It's not the third year of the king, it's the second year of the king. Like Rebbe was totally confused. And Rebbe therefore thought that this was a Get Me'ukhra. He thought it was a post-dated document. So Va'amar Le'zunin Le'Rebbe Kach Menhag Shal Zu Melech Shana Monon L'Shayim Shayim Elo Shalosh. And Zunin, who is the name of a Chacham, may or may not have been Jewish, but he explains to Rebbe, oh, no, 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 this is a thing. Meaning, in the Umos HaOlam, even though it's the first year of the king, they write down second. Even though it's the second year of the king, they write down third. So he says to him, no, 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 this is how it's done. It's not a post-dated document. So, but it's pretty clear from the story that, like, Rebbe didn't know this. But the Gemara says, you're right, Rebbe didn't know this. But like all of us, we learn. And the Gemara says, and that's what happened over here. So Rebbe learned. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. Basar d'shamay mizunin savra. So the Gemara says, okay, Rebbe didn't know this. You're right. But then he did. So, meaning, what do we learn in today's daf? Learning. Like, you could learn new things. How shar d'havikasa be'bishnas poni arkan. Now, there was a document. And this story over here is not dealing with a get makusha. It's talking about a regular get pashut. But as long as we were talking about dating on documents, so the Gemara tells us the following story. So there was a document, and in the document it said, in the year of Ploni Arkan. Now Arkan is a strange term. Now strange to us because you know we barely speak Aramaic. But even from the Gemara's perspective, it's a term that means that it certainly refers to the king in its monarchy. And it generally means in the beginning of his monarchy, generally. Which basically, this is code for year one. And I guess, based on what we learned earlier this morning, you don't want to say year one. Year one sounds like, oh, he's a newbie. So so we have a term now, the term is Arkan. It's a more formal term to describe the king in his first year. So I'm Rabbi Chanina Yibadek Emasayamad Arkan Barkanuse. Rabbi Chanina says, okay. So it means when his kingdom was established, meaning the first year. So Vidilma de Arich Machuse. So the Gemara says, well, maybe Arkan means not the beginning of his monarchy, but somewhere into his monarchy. Meaning, I don't think it actually means year one. So I'm Rav Oshia Kach Menagah Shel Omazu. So Rav Oshia says, no. You have to speak contract talk, and this is how they speak. Shana Rishona Karen Lo Arkan. In year one, that is, the word Arkan is code for the beginning of his monarchy, meaning it's year one. And Shnei Karen Lo Digun. And if you're in year number two, it's Digun. And Vidilma Avur Avruhu Vahadar Ukmuhu. So the Gemara says, well, maybe, can you not suggest that perhaps he was deposed? And afterwards, he continued. And maybe the word Arkan just simply means the establishment, but not really his first monarchy, his first year, but maybe Arkan just simply means where he was re-established, but it could be second year, could be third year. I'm Rav Yirmiyahu Arkan Digun Karilei. So the Gemara says no. They wouldn't use the word Arkan to describe that. They would call that Digun. Meaning that if you're using the word Arkan, it will mean and it will always mean year one of his monarchy. If he went through a period of being deposed and then reinstituted, they wouldn't use the word Arkan. They would use Digun. Tana Rabbanan, already Nazir. So now, as long as we're into this, you know, into this kind of talk of, you know, using different languages to express one, two, three. So the Gemara is going to quote a couple of brises that speak to this. So Harini Hina Simchos Amar Hina Achas Digun Shtaim Tigun Gimel Tetragon Arba Pentagon Chamesh. Okay, we're probably reading Greek. I don't speak it, but you know, my best guess, of course, is this is Greek. So the so if you say that I'm going to be a Nazir Hina, that's one, and Digun is two, and Trigon is three, and Tetragon is four, and Pentagon is five. So in other words, you're basically expressing the number of Naziris. By the way, Stam Nazir is 30 days. So when you're saying two, you mean two cycles of 30. And three is three cycles of 30. Okay. Tana Rabbanan Bais Igol Digun V'Trigon Pentagon Inam Atame B'Negaim. Again, just we're riffing now on Mishnayos that count in the numbers in Greek. So here's another Mishnah. A roundhouse. I don't mean a kick. I mean it literally. A roundhouse. A house with two corners. Don't ask me. My brain doesn't work. I don't know how to configure a two-cornered house. A trigon, a three-cornered house. A pentagon, a five-cornered house. Ein ha-metame b'negayim. is not subject to tumas nega, meaning that even if there is a spot on the house that presents like tumas nega, but just it's a halakha l'moshe misinai. Well, actually, we're going to darshan from psukim, so it's a drasha that the house has to have four corners. Tetragon mitame benegaim, but a house with four corners. Now you can ask me if it's 90 degrees. I don't know the answer, but a house with four corners, only such a house is subject to tumas negaim. Minahani milatan rabban. The Gemara learns that based on a drasha lamala omer kir kiros shtayim lamata omer kikir shtayim. So when you're going through the psukim by in parshas mitzora where the Torah goes through the negaim of a house, so you see the word kiros mentioned two times. The plurality of a word always assumes two. Two plus two, it's four. Harei kan arba. Okay. We'll have time today. Let's do one more episode on the Gemara. How Makusha dasa kama de Rebbe. There was again Makusha that was presented in front of Rebbe. Ve'ama Rebbe ain't zman bazeh. Now this is a story, this is a repeat. We've already done the story earlier in this parak. Rebbe's looking at the Gem Makusha and saying, where's the date? Amalei Rebbe Shimon, be Rebbe, le Rebbe, Shema ben Sharav Muvla. Oh, maybe the date is between the folds. Palyeh. So they unfolded it. V'chazia. And he saw and he found the date there. Now, when the story was presented to us the first time in this parak, the story stopped here. And now, as the Gemara is repeating the story, so we get a little bit more. We get treated to a little more detail in the story. Hadr chazabe Rebbe bebishus. Rebbe looked askance at such a document. He clearly made a face showing displeasure with such a document. Why was he so displeased with such a document? The Rashbam writes, I'm on the very bottom of the Amud in the Rashbam. Kasava shehu kasvo uvritzonu la yosem mekushar ela pashalafi shetoim bo. So he thought that his son was responsible for writing it, and Rebbe did not like Get Mekushar in general. This is the Rashbam's explanation. And he felt like people shouldn't be writing Get Mekushar, meaning it clearly was instituted by the Chachamim, but with its complexity and with its potential pitfalls, Rebbe did not like the writing of a Get Mekushar, and therefore Rebbe was just unhappy in general that it was a Get Mekusha. That's one explanation of the Rashbam. The Rashbam gives another explanation as well. But anyway, Rebbe was displeased.
How did you deal with a get for a coin then?
I theorized, and I'll repeat myself, but it's a theory. I theorized already by this period, the Get Mekusha was kind of like waning.
Right.
Okay. I think so. So anyway, Amarle love. You know, maybe they brought a timer in. Count to 10. Anyway, so Chazeh be Rebbe bebishus. Amarle love anakasve Rav Yehuda chayte kasve. So his son, knowing that, seeing that his father was visually displeased, so you know, and we all get like this, and he got defensive and he said, oh no, I didn't write the Get Mekushar. Oh no, Rav Yehuda chayta, Rav Yehuda the tailor. No, he wrote it. So Amarle klach milashen harazeh. So Rebbe then used the opportunity to rebuke his son. Oh, so now, I know you saw that I was displeased, but now you're blaming somebody else, so that was Lashon Hara. And you should avoid Lashon Hara. So he used the opportunity to give a little bit of tochach on Musa to his son about saying Lashon Hara. Okay, we'll stop here tomorrow. We're going to be treated tomorrow morning a little bit to the laws of Lashon Hara. If you remember back a long time ago in the Masechta, we did some of the laws of Lashon Hara earlier in Baba Basra, and then the end of today's daf, we'll do more of it tomorrow. Obviously, we'll continue with a little bit of the halachas of Lashon Hara.